Hello, and welcome to the Television Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo. In this episode, we'll be having a spoiler-filled discussion about a television show that we think you'll enjoy. In this episode, I am joined by my sister Kay, and we're going to have a spoiler-filled discussion on the first season of What If, which ran on Disney Plus for 9 episodes. Animated feature, half-hour-ish episodes, and for the most part, they got back the original people to do the voices, including Chadwick Boseman, because they recorded all that before he passed away. There were a couple of characters throughout the course that had different voice actors. Some of them were, I think, because the character had like a line or two of dialogue. In others, I think it was just a matter of they had so many people they were getting.
Yeah.
They may not have had the budget to get all of them or work the logistics or what have you. Because I know a few voice actors, like the one who plays Drax, Dave Bautista, I don't think he was even asked. And I don't know what led to that or whatever. I don't think it was any sort of intentional slights against these people, but he didn't reprise his, unsurprisingly, they got different voices for Spider-Man, Thor, Steve Rogers, a couple that I'd kind of expected.
I think there are some where whoever was making the decisions of who to reach out to was probably aware some of these actors had busy schedules. And they were looking at their own schedule and thinking, I'm not sure I want to have to coordinate with so-and-so's busy schedule. Or kind of the, as happy as I am that they're doing so much work, we've got a tight enough schedule that I may just work with someone who has more opportunities or more openings in their schedule to slide into our schedule.
Well, and it also comes down to how important was that character overall in the MCU? And in these stories in particular.
Yeah.
Because there's a couple. Yeah, they got some great lines, but they only have a couple of lines. And just picking up the phone to talk to the agent, having the contract written, you know, whatever logistical costs there are, there comes a point where you're doing an animated feature. You know you're going to have a variety of people to do additional voices or whatever. You know you've got some voice actors that can fill particular roles. You've got to pick and choose sometimes.
I was surprised how much of an overall arc this had.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting just a series of one-offs. I was surprised in some cases, like with Drax, he was in the background of some scenes, like a party scene on a bridge.
There were a couple on the party scenes that it's like, okay, I didn't expect that character, but all right. I mean, they pulled in the Guardians of the Galaxy for no real particular explicable reason.
Mm-hmm.
But fine, that works.
Well, and in fact, there was at least one scene where it was kind of Yondu was walking around, didn't say anything, but it was just kind of a he walked in and out. And I'm like, somebody just thought, well, we might as well throw him in as kind of a everybody's here.
That's one of the fun things you could do with an animated feature is you can have walk on cameos.
Yeah.
To your heart's content for the most part.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit of a cost if somebody's got to do the model sheet or whatever. What?
Well, but there was an aspect of they were trying to give the impression the whole universe showed up to the party.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And there were a couple where they'd already got the characters for other episodes. So other than the cost of literally drawing them in, there was no additional cost.
Yeah.
And for some of them that had speaking lines, they were in the other episodes. So again, I assume that they would have the person come in, do the lines for whatever they're doing in the 9 episodes and call it a day.
But that was why it surprised me when we got to the final episode and there was a character I hadn't spotted in any of the previous episodes, even in the background of a party scene or anything.
Yes, we had not only not seen that version of the character, I don't know that we had seen that character at all.
Yeah.
It was Gamora, whereas Nebula we'd seen a number of times.
And in a variety of forms, I guess you would say.
Well, and they got Karen Gillan
to
reprise the voice role. So, yeah. Overall, I enjoyed this. I thought the animation quality was fairly good.
Mm-hmm.
There were some cases I think the likenesses were really amazing. a few others where it didn't really look like the character or the actor or whatever, but I think that was kind of intentional. And a couple of times, not only was the likeness really good, but because they were doing kind of a 3D render into 2D, they were able to really capture the expressions and whatnot and the body language and stuff of the characters pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that went off well. I think there were a couple of the actors that did the voice acting really well.
Yeah.
There were a couple where, yeah, not quite. A few where they had kind of, I don't say fill in, but not the original voice for the character where it's, man, it's close, but it's not quite there. The big one for that was Ultron for me.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't expecting them to have James Spader, but he'd literally only done the voice for the role to begin with, so he could have done it here too. And it may have just been a logistical issue or a budget issue, or I don't know, but...
But then again, the voice they had for Tony Stark was really good.
Yes. There were a couple. It was not the regular voice, but it was close enough.
Mm-hmm.
Tony was good. Black Widow.
Yeah.
I thought was pretty good. I mean, obviously, when they can get the regular, that's even better. But none of them were, it's like, wow, that's just rough or something. They had a lot of the episodes where it felt like they were kind of taking one or two points in the cinematic universe, kind of mashing them together a little bit, and then putting a what-if twist on it.
I think this show works really well for people who've seen all the movies. And I say that in part because, well, like the first episode, what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger?
Mm-hmm.
In a way, the episode felt like a 30-minute Cliff Notes version of a movie. And I came out of it with the feeling of having watched a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Because my mind was filling in so many blanks that the episode didn't have to give me everything.
Well, it's like, this scene is that one. This scene maps to that one. There's a little in between. They make a reference of the USO tour, but they don't do it. And that was also playing a bit of homage to the Captain Carter series, Agent Carter series.
Yeah.
Because we got Howard and some stuff like that. So I really think when they did some of those aspects, it was really, it's like, okay, I know where you're at in which film.
Mm-hmm.
There was, I'll admit, one or two places where I knew they were pulling from a film. I could picture the scene. I was having a hard time figuring out which movie was that in again.
And, you know, that would be a fascinating, kind of like when a B5 had the Lurker's Guide, mm-hmm. a fascinating webpage where if somebody could do kind of a, this scene maps to this scene from this movie.
Well, I've had an idea for a website. I just haven't really designed it out, and it needs some serious design work, where you would be able to put in, again, going back to Lurker's Guide to Babylon 5, which was a website. You can still find at least the archive of it online, but it was really around when Babylon 5 first aired back around, well, I'm going to say the early 90s.
Yeah, early mid-90s.
And I was watching, you'd watch an episode, or I would at least, go to the Lurker's Guide, and it's like, here's the, you know, kind of the TV guide pitch for it, here are the main characters. But then it's a, did you notice this? If you look in the background of this scene, you'll catch this. Or it raises this question, here's our theories, or it ties back to this other thing. Or that line that Garibaldi sang about Sinclair as they're walking down in the Zocalo and stuff, that ties back to this comic book story from years later, actually. And it was something that kept getting added to over time. And I'd love to do a similar sort of a website where you can put in either I've made it this far into the series or turn on and off episodes to hide spoilers for future stuff.
Yes.
Because nothing annoys me more than knowing what's going to come and having the thunder stolen from a story.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to see it kind of play out. But I just haven't figured out how to design kind of the gatekeeping aspect for the spoilers. And then what sort of review process would be needed to put stuff in. Because there's some stuff here where if I had known for certain, well, this character's coming back in the final episode and stuff, maybe I'd have paid a little more attention. Maybe I would have expected this or that and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
As it was, I do think between the final episode and the one before it, there was a little bit of a disconnect of the end of the episode, the start of the next, particularly with the Watcher and what he's seeing and such.
Yeah.
I also think that there was I know these episodes were written and started on a while back, before the pandemic, obviously before Chadwick Boseman died. It just takes a while to get all this animation done and whatnot. That other shows had not been written at the time, so I don't think this had really anything to do with what's going on with Loki or, you know, Spider-Man No Way Home, Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness, you know, these things later in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd also kind of like to take the, man, I've lost count of however many movies there are in the cinematic universe. And even if you stop at Endgame, how many of them did they kind of at least touch on or acknowledge in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah.
And I think most, if not all of them, I'd be hard pressed to name any where it's like, yeah, they didn't really do anything about. I mean, they didn't touch on the Sokovia Accords per se, but obviously we got Ultron.
Well, and it was funny because there was one scene where I guess his Black Widow was riding around on a motorcycle, and I started to ask you, are we in Sokovia? Because they hadn't given us a convenient little, here's where we are, typed on the screen. And then a moment later, she tells Clint Barton that they're in Russia. And I'm like, okay, so we're not in Sokovia.
No, but they at least, you know, did a nod towards the motorcycle scene in Winter Soldier and such. Matter of fact, the only film I don't think they really touched on much at all was Iron Man 3. We never got multiple suits of armor. We never got the kid from the other thing. But some of it is, you know, having watched these movies as they've been coming out over the last decade plus.
Yeah.
There's a lot of material there. And I liked how they kept to the spirit of the What If comic book series, the original one and such, which half the time they would end with, and everything was more or less the same, the other half the time, and the universe went to hell in a handbasket and was destroyed. You know, sort of endings and whatnot. But they were all done in one stories, much like these were, by and large, done in one episode stories. I also liked how they pulled a few things in that were not What If stories. They were not really branching off a particular thing in the cinematic universe. And while I easily could have done without the Marvel Zombies episode, Marvel Zombies was probably the biggest What If style story Marvel had ever kind of done, with maybe one other exception. Because it was its own standalone miniseries, it did well in Marvel Zombies 2, 3. I mean, they did at least 7 or 8 different miniseries on it, so I get why they got one. The only other more successful or bigger What If kind of a story I think was ever done was Spider-Girl.
Mm.
It was, I think, What If, I want to say 105, I could be off by an episode or issue or two. It did well enough that Spider-Girl actually got her own, I think, it may have started with a miniseries, but it went on to a regular series that lasted like 100 issues, and it may have bounced volumes a time or two in that, I don't remember. Plus, spinning off the entire kind of MC2 universe of Marvel Comics, you know, Generation 2, with the next generation of the Avengers, of the Juggernaut, the Fantastic Four, or the Fantastic Five, I think it was, and a few things like that. That would have been nice to have gotten a nod here, but I'm not sure how much Spider-Man stuff they could really pull in. He was really big in one episode here, but really, I think, just the one. And that was the Marvel Zombies one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So trying to do his daughter, it's like, yeah, this Spider-Man's too young, I think, to really go down that line.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, I thought it was a fun season.
Well, in most of the stories, I almost want to say they were kind of old school in terms of whether you want to say they had an outright lesson, a moral. They had that extra layer to them that a lot of current TV isn't bothering with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, even in the second episode, what if T'Challa became a Star-Lord? That was as simple as, what if the child that's abducted had not just a strong personality, but such a different personality?
Yeah. Swap which kid it was, and it wasn't just any kid would have become like, mm-hmm. and stuff. And I liked how in that one they touched at the end of what happened to Peter Quill.
Yes.
So that was a kind of a nice thing. And they really take the what if, I want to say fairly literally, but there's a lot of room for interpretation there. But it's what if this happened, not wouldn't it be cool if,
yes.
this happened.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, the mistake so many comic book writers fall in these days of, ooh, wouldn't it be cool if, and you get this kind of shock and awe comic where it's a little light on plot, character, or whatever else it is that makes a comic really great.
Mm-hmm.
And here, some of the things they did, like, okay, if Peggy became Captain Carter versus Steve becoming Captain America and such, it's an obvious go left when they went right sort of a change.
Mm-hmm.
There's clear parallels to the stories and such, as you would kind of sort of expect. There's an inertia to time and stuff that, you know, works, I think. So I was good with that. And then a few of the other things, again, what if Killmonger saved Tony Stark and kind of reroute his origin, flowed logically from there. I don't think there were any where it's like, okay, you said the premise was this, but then you changed X, Y, and Z as well, you know, because that always feels a little bit like a cheat.
Well, what if the world lost its mightiest heroes, where kind of the Avengers got wiped out instead of gathered?
Mm-hmm.
That one, it took an unexpected path for me in terms of I expected the Avengers to not get assembled and to get wiped out, but I didn't expect it to lead towards Wasp.
Actually, I think Yellowjacket technically was the name he probably would have been going by at that point.
But... Oh, I was thinking the daughter.
Oh, the daughter. You're right. I was thinking the guy who, you know, who killed them, Hank. Yeah, that one was more of a what if a hero takes a dark change, a dark turn, and the phrasing of the question was more of the outcome than the turning point.
Mm-hmm. I was expecting it to be kind of the story to center on how do we protect ourselves when the heroes we're relying on are wiped out.
There was something about that one that early on I'm like, okay, Pym Particle makes sense, so now it's a question of why.
That's also one that I kind of wonder if they would have changed what happened with Tony Stark if they had been doing it after the pandemic. Were it such a vaxxers, anti-vaxxers division point right now?
Fair enough. I hadn't taken it that way, but that's just not where my mind would go.
I just wonder if instead of having his death hinge on a needle.
Yeah. You thought this would cure him and it killed him, but turns out that wasn't the case anyways.
Exactly.
But that was one where it touched on the Iron Man in the donut scene from, I want to say, Iron Man 2. The first Hulk film of the MCU. I still think the Ang Lee one could be read in as a precursor in continuity, but doesn't have to be. It also touched on, I'm trying to think what else, one or two other things. Well, Thor,
mm-hmm.
The first Thor movie, and I'm trying to think what else. One or two other things. It touched on quite a bit of the forming of the Avengers and such.
Yeah.
So I thought they covered a ton of ground in this season. And to do that in 9 episodes, half hour each. I mean, all said and done, this is under 5 hours of watching.
Mm-hmm.
And an easy 5 hours, I think.
Yeah. By episode 7, we get to what if Thor were an only child?
I honestly thought that was the weakest premise of the bunch.
I thought it was a funny episode. I now understand my older siblings should be grateful they have younger siblings who have made them better, more responsible people.
Of course.
Hey, I've done you a favor. I thought it was funny because in some respects that was the one that made me start realizing, oh yeah, they have been putting in these lessons. And
yeah.
That one was just kind of the clearest stated. There are times when they've gone with Surfer Boy Thor. If you will.
That episode took it a little further than usual.
Yeah. And that was kind of that's not my favorite aspect of Thor. But as we come out of that, it's when they start pulling the season together.
Well, yeah, certainly when we got to they would have lived happily ever after or whatever. And then, oh, wait, they don't. And then we get the Ultron episode to kind of. And again, that's where I felt that where that episode left off and the Ultron started could have been a little smoother. But then that set up Ultron for the big thing at the end.
Mm-hmm.
And getting a multiversal team together was kind of cool. It is reminiscent of the Exiles series from Marvel. And in one of the Exile volumes, one of the more recent ones, a Captain Carter, whether she went by that name or a different name, I don't remember, like Britannia or something like that, maybe, I forget. did show up in the comics. So that character, that version of a Peggy Carter Cap, predates this series, I believe.
Well, I found it interesting when they got to the point where they kind of went back, if you will, to each of the previous episodes and plucked someone out of a scene. And I'm like, okay, so we are interconnected in a way. And each of these characters took a journey that kind of brought them to the point to being the right choice to help fight Ultron.
Well, okay, so counting backwards, we had the finale where they're all gathered to fight.
Yeah.
The previous episode setting up Ultron for them to fight.
Yes.
The previous one had Thor.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one prior to Thor?
Killmonger rescued Tony Stark.
So we get Killmonger from that one. Mm-hmm. Prior to that?
Zombies.
Which we pull Natasha from. No, she came from the Ultron world. That's where actually we kind of pull Scarlet Witch from, but not as a member of the team. All right, I was trying to remember, because we had a team of six, I think it was. Prior to that episode was...
Doctor Strange lost his heart instead of his hands.
So that's where we get Doctor Strange from. Mm-hmm. Prior to that...
What if the world lost its mightiest heroes?
We didn't pull anyone from that world. And then the first one was where we...
Two more.
Okay.
What if T'Challa became a Star-Lord?
Which is where we pulled T'Challa from.
And then what if Captain Carter were the first Avenger?
Right, because the team is Captain Carter, T'Challa, a Star-Lord, the Doctor Strange who lost his heart.
Mm-hmm. Killmonger.
Killmonger. Party Thor.
Right.
And...
The Watcher.
I thought we had one other person on the team. I'd have to go... Enough happened, I lose track.
Gamora,
that's right. The Gamora we never found from anywhere else.
Yes. And that's why I was surprised we hadn't seen Gamora. Well, I had been surprised earlier that we didn't see Gamora in the T'Challa Became a Star-Lord episode. Because, like, we saw Drax as a bartender.
We saw Thanos.
Yeah.
Great use of Thanos, by the way.
Thanos got... There was humorous dialogue abounding with Thanos.
We might have seen Gamora in passing, but she had no lines of dialogue that I recall. She was not a feature character in any way, shape, or form.
If she was in the background of the bar scene or anything, I didn't notice her.
Yeah.
And I was watching for her, especially when we saw Nebula and Thanos.
I don't recall her being there, but there was enough people, it's possible. True. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, and I agree. It's just...
And I don't recall her in the Party Thor episode either.
Yeah.
But that's not to say she wasn't there, because there were a lot of, I think that's the Collector, and a lot of Easter eggs.
Very true. Very true. Well, Howard the Duck was in more of this than I would have expected.
I'm not too surprised. He was in the end credit scene of the first Guardians. He had his own movie at one point back in the day. He was used here a lot more than I would have expected, though, yeah.
He got married here.
Seth Green, I can see pulling him in for this kind of a thing.
I'm just saying, it was humorous to me that he kept popping up. So, but no, I enjoyed the series. I was just very surprised when we went back and revisited the previous episodes and pulled the team out of them.
Yeah, yeah.
I hadn't been expecting an arc. I hadn't been expecting we're trying to weave this all together.
Well, what was interesting is half that team was effectively original Avengers. Kind of, sort of.
Thor, Captain Carter.
Well, and by that point, we had the Black Widow from Ultron World.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah. Gamora was the one who felt the most kind of out of place in that. She was very useful in the fight scenes, but character-wise, I don't think she added a ton.
She brought the Infinity Stone Crusher.
So plot-wise, she was needed for that.
And then she kind of fell by the wayside during the big fight. So either she got knocked out and I missed it.
Well, she... Felt like she got the short end of the script because she hadn't been anywhere near as developed as almost all the others that had shown up in a previous episode.
Yeah.
In many cases, were the feature character of the other episode.
Yeah.
And the use of Doctor Strange here was, I don't say reminiscent of, but evocative of his endgame, you know, really, I guess it was Infinity War of, you know, there's the one path to success. It wasn't literally that way, but...
Yeah.
And his protection spells got quite a bit of use in this season.
They did.
I don't know if they're going to do another season of this, but I'd like them to.
IMDb seems to be listing a second season.
Cool. Not surprised. It's the easiest one to do a second season on because you're not really tied to continuity at all. And it would be fun to see some other twists of what they've done in the cinematic universe.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Loki got a fair amount of use here.
Yeah, but man, they could easily do a episode focusing on him at some point. I'm trying to think what other character is just begging to really get the limelight that hadn't before. I mean, I would do a What If Hawkeye Led the Avengers.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's funny because Hawkeye was kind of in the background a lot here.
Yeah.
There was one scene where I thought we saw Falcon flying around.
We saw him in the zombie world.
That's where it was.
What if Quicksilver lived?
Mm. Yeah.
There's some other stuff they could do. And they may have more options now with the properties that had been over at Fox potentially getting folded in. That could open up the X-Men and the Fantastic Four.
Mm-hmm.
So again, I think they did a good job. I think the voice cast was really good. The art style was well. There were a few fight scenes where it's like, okay, you've cut a little too much or whatever in terms of back and forth. But it told the story well. When Ultron with the Infinity Stones was fighting the Watcher and they were kind of punching through realities and stuff, I thought the effect on that was really well done.
Yeah.
I found it hilarious because it reminded me of Superboy Prime kind of punching Hypertime or whatever in Infinite Crisis. So more of a DC thing than I would think from Marvel, but hey, it worked here. But yeah, overall, I would definitely be game for a second season. Doing it as a, you know, 9-ish episode kind of thing makes sense. Having something where there is a thread between them, not to say gather a team at the end necessarily, could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, this was more fun than I expected, since mm-hmm. I was only expecting the one-offs.
I was a little concerned that it would be 9 totally disconnected stories, and that by the time we came to record after watching them, it'd be in, what was that first one?
Yeah.
I mean, I lose track of the order of them, but they all held up, and none of them were it's like, yeah, that's where they spent all their time and energy, and the others were really bad, or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
There was not one, I mean, the Thor one, the premise wasn't great, but the execution was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
None of them were bad episodes.
Well, and I can definitely see if people are watching these episodes as a family, that's kind of the ones where the kids get the most out of it, if you will.
Yeah, yeah.
So in terms of family entertainment, there's a part of me that's really glad they put that one in there.
Well, and I know, I think you've told me about one family that was, during the pandemic, marathoning the Marvel movies.
Yeah.
This makes a nice kind of an end cap to that kind of thing.
I really think so, because several of the episodes, as we were going through them, I'm like, I really feel like I have just had that rich experience of a 2-hour movie, but in the 30-minute format, because my mind is filling in so much from this movie, that movie, and beefing up the story. And I think they're doing it on purpose with so many memory jogs,
yeah,
so many Easter eggs, and hearkening directly to so many scenes.
Well, and I think the challenge you hit with the Marvel Cinematic Universe is one that I've actually heard about the Star Wars one, but there's so many movies.
Mm.
And at that point, Star Wars had like 10, maybe? It was before the trilogy, the third trilogy had finished. But somebody is like, yeah, I haven't seen them. There's so many. And it's like, yeah, okay, we're talking, I don't know, maybe 20 hours of watching, which is not minor, but it's not, oh my God. But now with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's a lot to watch.
It is, yeah.
And I think having somewhere that has, again, that thumbnail plot line of here are the key moments of this movie. Mm-hmm. That relate to the other and kind of all that would be really handy. Again, a lurker's guide, if you will.
Yeah.
Because for me, trying to remember, it's like, okay, where did we see the arms dealer?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that in the comics later becomes Claw. What movie was he from? And just trying to, again, piece that in and such.
Yeah.
Again, there's just so much to keep track of. But yeah, this was a lot of fun. I'm not surprised it's getting a second season. If I were them, I would do, again, the shorter seasons, but not necessarily so far apart.
Yeah.
As you've got enough to go do around, that's something you can be using to kind of, you know, revisit key moments in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a ton of possibility there. And that's part of why the original series lasted, like, I want to say 130-ish episodes, give or take, and came back as another series that lasted at least 30 episodes or something and had like almost a yearly batch of 5 or 6 one-shots every year.
Yeah.
Just what if Punisher did this? What if Spider-Man did this? What if so-and-so became, you know, whatever? And a couple of times those storylines have either branched into their own comics or aspects of the story got pulled into the comics.
Mm.
You know, hey, that was a clever idea. What if Jane Foster became Thor? And she does for a while, kind of thing. So, fun stuff. Anything else?
I think that does it.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.